Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hello everybody, it's me Roscoe, and welcome to the return of the Kings of Anglia Fan Social, the show where the Cowie Army share their thoughts on all things town. It's been a while, but we're back to bring you nonsense, but also good issues town debate, and I'm joined by two fine gentlemen, Harvey, the Sweet Rouse Prince, Harvey Davis, and Tom Baines. And it's funny to say this, they're both from living in Wales, one's not Welsh, one is Welsh. But yeah, they're here on the returning of the Fan Social, getting involved in the comments down below. And we've already got one comment. Callum, evening gents, a new friend of the show after winning the strike live in KOA Live 2. Harvey, also, of course, you're a friend of the show as well. Bainesy, you're a friend anyway. You're just a good friend. But yes, let's bring in Harvey first of all, my friend. It's dark and gloomy in Suffolk, but behind you in North Wales, it's looking right, very nice and bright this evening.
Yeah, you wouldn't have said that this morning, I can assure you, when I was leaving the house at whatever time and it was absolutely throwing down with rain. But it has brightened up. Clearly the weather knew that the pod was back and wanted to drop us with some sunshine. So, yeah, it seems to be nice blue skies here at the moment. It's good to be back. It's been a while. And, yeah, looking forward to talking about the chaotic season so far, and we're only 4 or 5 games in, so yeah, bring it on.
So, man, yeah, we've got a lot to cover. But Bainesy, good to see you. You've got some great people in the chat already as well. I'm going to give you a big shout out very shortly, guys. But Bainesy, how you doing, my friend?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Nice to see you both. Yeah, it's always good to chat all things town. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm glad the Fan Social's back, and very honoured to be on the first one with the esteemed company between the two of you.
So, man, I'm blushing as well, boys. I'm sure you are as well. This is from Shabby McNally. Great name. Handsome trio. Thank you very much, Shabby. Love that. And Peachy, two fine gentlemen. Indeed, I am joined by two fine gentlemen. Evening from Paul Perry. Hi, guys. Andy Crackers Cracknell. Hi, all. JT. Evening, fellas. And finally, Greg here from Wellington, New Zealand. Good morning. Yes, I'm sure it is morning there. Let us know what time it is, because is it really early morning or is it mid-morning? Let us know. JT, though, evening, fellas. And Gavin, evening, lads. Yes, good evening, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. We've got a lot to discuss, because the last month has been mental. Signings, departures, games. And we're going to reflect on the transfer window, first of all, because on Monday, as it always does, it slams shut. And yeah, we've seen some sad departures. We've seen some big signings, money spent. But yeah, Harvey, let's start with just your reflections on the window, because it's been an interesting one. Good, bad, how do you reflect on it?
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned the word chaotic just before we in that intro there, and I'm trying to think of any other words that kind of go alongside that. Chaotic, stressful, whatever you want to call it. It's been I would probably say the most drama we've seen in a window since probably the 19 signings window that we had a few years ago. More departures than we expected, more departures than I'm sure McKenna and Ashton expected. Obviously, we had that Ashton quote, didn't we, earlier in the summer, saying that retention was going to be key, and we've ended up with 14 or so departures. So it's not gone completely to plan, but at the same time, a lot of those departures, I'm not convinced we could have done a lot about. You know, with the Burgess one, we offered a new deal. Twanzabe, we offered a new deal. And then obviously Morsey, I won't go through everyone, but you know, the Morsey one is another example of life-changing money that we were never going to offer. So it's been an interesting summer, really interesting summer. But at the same time, we've made a good few impressive signings as well. You know, we've signed the Norwegian lad. I'm not going to even try and pronounce his surname. I'm just going to call him Sindre because it's easier. He looks a real, real good talent. I was reading AJ's piece today and I was really excited. I saw your insight as well with Will. I watched your insight with Will, which was really good. We signed people like Chuchu Bratpom. We've got Kiyuste back. We've got Matasiwa, who looks better every game. So we've made some really good signings. And you look at the squad, there's still holes in that squad that personally I think we should have filled, left back being one of them. But you look at the squad in general, I mean, it's a ridiculously good squad for this level, however you want to look at it. I know there's still one or two players that maybe people thought we should have brought in, but... It's been a good window. It's been a good window. We've got a lot of depth. It's just about McKenna now and his coaching staff getting the best out of them, and hopefully we'll see it gel on the pitch just as we did in that promotion season.
Yeah, definitely. That's what Texas Tech Tractor Boy just said. All up to McKenna now. Completely new team. Can he teach them to win? Because we're still winless. This is from John here. Greetings from Hamburg. Are we happy, sad, or just anxious? Bainsey, what are you then? What's your thoughts on this?
I don't know. It's a very weird one because first off, we have the logistics of the split window opening and closing, or two windows, which I still don't quite understand the point of. And then ending at 7 on Monday, which felt equally weird as well. It's been a strange window. I think, as Harvey alluded to, Ashton said retention was going to be key. And it started well with, you know, Hurst was tied down to longer contract. O'Shea was tied down to a longer contract as well. We saw some departures that we probably expected. Twan Zabe, you know, no problem there. Get the opportunity to play Premier League football makes sense. Same with Delap. I think the club did the sensible thing in letting him talk to clubs early and just get it over and done with quickly. And then obviously as the window went on, it kind of just snowballed and got more and more chaotic. I think in general, obviously, Morsi was an incredible shot. None of us really saw that coming. I think slightly predicted by Matisse was incoming. Same height, same kind of profile of player. Perhaps we thought it might be, but then obviously he went, and then Chaplin on Monday as well, which was incredibly shocking. And another promotion hero. I think really the window, you know, before the season as well, they were saying there's some areas they need to improve in, and there was going to have to be a refresh of this squad at some point. And I think as the window went on, they saw opportunities for players to move on to better moves for them to get more game time. Burgess, for example, he's got one eye on the World Cup next year. He needs to play more minutes. Chappers gets to go back to Portsmouth and be a cult hero. And I think it got to a point where they just thought, well, if we're really going to hit the reset button, now's probably the time to do it. And they've, you know, they've been fair to a lot of players and let them go to opportunities new, but equally they've brought in some really fantastic players. You know, the Norwegian lads, Nunes, bonkers again, no one would have thought that. You know, McAteer, Akpom, Q stay back. No one ever thought that would happen. That was the longest saga out of everything. So I think overall, as chaotic as it's been, looking back, it is actually been quite a good window overall. And now, you know, as the guy in the chat said, I can't remember his name, it's up to McKenna now to make it work. He's got that squad there. It's up to him and the coaching staff now to get us promoted.
Yeah, it's Texas Tractor Boy, who I can imagine lives in Texas. Let us know if that's true, or that's just you just wanted to put that as your name. And quickly go back to, where is he? Greg, 6:30 in New Zealand. 6:41 now, yeah. But an early morning to speak to us. Is that Thursday morning? Must be Thursday morning, because they're not, yeah. So are you getting yourself ready to work, Greg? Let us know. And you've got us to keep you company. I love that, my friend. Boys, I'm going to bring up some more comments very shortly, but I want to quickly ask you, out of 10, Harvey, how would you rank this window from the signings, departures, all in one? And also get involved in the comments, ladies and gentlemen. Let us know, out of 10. I, on the main pod, said 7. It was going to be potentially eight, but because Chapman left, I went, nope, seven. Yeah, Harvey, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I'm going to be very, very bored and agree with you, Ross. I think seven's a fair score, to be honest. It's difficult to say, isn't it, really? We're still so early into the season. We can't really judge any of the signings. Well, we can't judge any of the signings so far. So I think seven's fair. There's been some departures that we didn't expect and want. Some we did expect. Broadhead, for example, I know I said for months I thought he would leave. I thought that was nailed on in the summer, to be honest. But yeah, the likes of Chaplin, Wolfenden, Morsey, that we thought were at least going to be here for one more season. And that's kind of taken us aback a little bit, I think. Not just us as fans, but the players as well, to lose such big personalities within the squad. So my initial thoughts would be, I think seven's a good round number, and then perhaps we can come back to this later on in the season and revisit it.
Fair enough. And Greg just went, no, don't work, Ross, pensioner. Well, enjoy your retirement, Greg. I'm sure you've been retired for a while now, but well, you're enjoying your retirement. Listen to us. So thank you very much for that. Baines, before I go over to you to ask your ranking of the transfer window, we've got this message here from Johnny Crack. We're all speculating like mad about our perceived problems, but I've not heard anyone suggest that the last 3 weeks have had an unsettled effect on the entire squad. Surely that can't be discounted, which is very true, Johnny and Bainesy, because with the players coming in and out, I'm sure some of the players, you know, trying to settle the new signings, but also like, you know, Leif Davis and other players like that, seeing key players, teammates leave, I'm sure it's been a bit sad for them.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, if you apply it to any other job, any other workplace, if you see your mates going, you kind of think, well, actually, maybe this might be time for me to go. And I think it's the same with the players. You know, their agents probably would have been, you know, assessing the situation, what options there were, as well as what potential game time they'd get. They saw the opportunities to move. I think if you look at all of the departures, they all kind of make sense looking back at it, as emotional as they are with the likes of, you know, Wolfenden, Chappers, Morsey, they all make sense, and they've all got their reasons. So it must have had an effect on the squad. Absolutely would have done. And I think it's obviously contributed to the situation as now as well, with, you know, the performances on the pitch. If they'd been winning, then it might have alleviated things a little bit. But when you're not performing well and that's happening, it's two things that they're quite negative. So, yeah. As I said, up to McKenna now. Make it work.
Definitely. And Texas Trapner boy, live near Austin, Texas. President of the ITFC Texas Supporters. Love that. Love that indeed. We're worldwide here, Isha Town, and of course Kings of Anglia. Love that. But yeah, Bainesy, out of 10. Then got a few here. This is from JT. 8 for me. Callum's gone 6, and we've also got one here from Andy Crackers Cracknell. I'll say 7.5. No, we're not doing halves. It's got to be a round number. But I'll let you do it, mate. If Chappers had stayed and we sold Taylor and brought in better cover for Matasiwa, I'll give it a 9 out of 10, which is a fair point. Bainesy, what are you going for?
Really boringly, 7. I think overall, if you look at who they've brought in, so Ian Holloway of his 2015 promotion Blackpool side said, the characters got them to where they were. They weren't necessarily the best players, but the team spirit and the characters got them through it. And I think that was the same with us last year. It was like, no one really expected us to get, or the year before last, no one expected us to get promoted. No one expected us to do big things, but the team spirit got us there. Whereas this time, I think they've really focused on getting good, talent to actually give themselves a proper chance of being up there and staying up there. So I think overall the window has been fairly good. Perhaps, you know, in hindsight, you know, we talked about it Monday, whether Chapman could have stayed to give a bit of cohesion to the front line whilst everyone was getting up to speed. But you can't hold someone back. If he felt there was a good opportunity to leave, the club obviously wanted to do the right thing by him. So you couldn't stop him. And equally as well, with, you know, Wolfenden going, not signing another, it gives Elgin Baggett a chance to really show what he's worth. He's had another contract. He's been, you know, here for a number of years. this is his time to show that he can even make it or move on. And same with Cam Humphreys as well. He's obviously had a fantastic season at Wickham last year. He's thought of very highly. He's going to be part of that squad now again. Huge opportunity for him to show that he deserves to be here and he deserves to be part of this squad. So I'd say overall 7, pretty solid window.
Okay, and fair play. We're all on the same wavelength. Havy?
Yeah, I've been called worse. It's fine. I'm just picking up on that point. I can't remember who said it now about the 6 foot plus striker. Who was it that said that? I'll give him the credit where it's due. Yes, that was the one. Yeah, just picking up on that quickly, because the Azon transfer is a really interesting one, because we've heard McKenna say whenever he's been brought up, we've heard McKenna say the recruitment team have been big on him, the recruitment team have been tracking him. I think he said that 2 or 3 times now. So I'm not sure necessarily he was one McKenna was. I could be completely wrong, could be reading too much into it, but I'm not sure whether he was one McKenna was really, really keen on bringing in, because every time he's brought up, he's mentioned how the recruitment team have been tracking him for so long, and they mentioned a big 6 foot striker there. He's not necessarily a McKenna type striker. I think he's 5'10", 5'11". Historically, you look at McKenna's strikers, whether it's Hurst, whether it's Ali, they're all big boys. Now, I'm not saying that he won't be a success, because I hope he will. I'd love him to be another Kanyago, but it's an interesting one that maybe that highlights the lack of strikers out there at the moment, that perhaps he's not one that McKenna was absolutely convinced by, but maybe the recruitment team had to, I don't know, show him clips or show him different games of what he can do. So it's going to be really interesting. Obviously, we've gone down a foreign route this year with a lot of our signings, which historically under this ownership we just haven't done, really, have we? So I'm sure there'll be some hits, some misses, but I thought that was an interesting point, because every time I've listened to McKenna talk about him, he's mentioned his qualities, but he then backs that up by saying how big the recruitment team were on him, and not necessarily him, if that makes sense.
Yeah, very true. And it's been exciting for us to sort of get some insight from different journalists and different, just podcasts and different clubs, because, normally it was like, all right, and I'm just chat to my normal guy I know from the Midlands or whatever. But I've been able to speak to, I spoke to someone, obviously who supports a Spanish club, and the Norwegian sort of lad as well, and other. It's been incredible. I like it. ST, Harvey always talks sense. There you go, Harvey. Little
yeah, I'll send you that £10 later. Thank you very much for that.
definitely. And this is a nice way to segue onto our next segment on the podcast. And this is from Trevor Amos. Biggest miss for me could be Morsey, but it's done now. So looking forward, it's down to Kieran McKenna. And so I want to ask you boys, I know it's now they're done, they're left and all that, but who's been the saddest departure of them all? Because there's been some big ones, especially Connor Chapman, Luke Wolfenden on deadline day. Wolfenden was sort of rumoured anyway, but Chapman just came out of nowhere. I know he's only gone out on loan, but it feels like he is the start of his departure at Ipswich Town. We've had some big hitters. Some we sort of knew were going to go, like Delap and Amari and stuff like that. But I'm just going to quickly bring up the full list of players who have left permanently, because obviously Ogbene's gone out on loan, Ali Hamidi's gone out on loan. But let's bring up the full out. So Delap, Morsey, Broadhead, Hutchison, Wolfenden, and then the players who got released, Burgess, Twanzabi, Luongo, Harness. Obviously Burgess and basically Twanzabi decided to not sign a new contract and go on to other clubs. But for you, Bainesy, who is the saddest departure of them all?
Wolfenden. I think purely it's because he's just been around so long, and because obviously he came from our academy. I think there was many times in the past before the ownership took over where we thought he was definitely gone and he wasn't favoured. Even if you go back to the Lambert days when Sheffield United, wasn't it, bid £3 million for him, and Lambert famously said £3 million wouldn't get you a flake. I think it's really sad, because I think he's an Ipswich lad. I think he's a very good, dependable centre back. Obviously, Coventry have taken him, and they've got ambitions of promotion. So it clearly shows that he's of that level. We know he can do it in the Prem as well. But yeah, just really sad. I think the fee's a bit sad as well. It just seems really low. But obviously, we haven't got much choice because we kind of said he wanted to go. And, you know, if he wanted to go and really there weren't that many options, sort of weakens your negotiation hand. But 4 million for him, that could be an absolute steal for Coventry. But yeah, wish him all the best. I hope he does well. But yeah, very, very sad to see an Ipswich lad go who's been here for so long and has been a key part of the promotions.
Yeah, roller coaster, 16 years at the club. And yeah, now he's going to Coventry, which is a rival as well. But I'm sure, you know, we wish him all the best and not in those games against Coventry, but for the rest of the season, hopefully he does okay. But yeah, Harvey, saddest departure. We've seen a skipper leave. We've seen two strong defenders. We've seen a Welshman. We've had a Welshman leave. Who's the saddest one for you?
Aaron Slicker, without a doubt. No, definitely not.
Yeah, still here, apparently. So,
well, yeah, that's true. Yeah, Wolfenden is sad. I agree with Bainesy. He's one where he's, you know, whenever I think of Wolfenden Ipswich, I think back to that that interview with the club after, was it Bristol Rovers? I can't remember the exact game. Might have been Bristol Rovers, where yeah, he looked. I've never seen a player look so down after a match. So that's a gutting one because again he wanted to leave, but for me, it's got to be the skipper. I mean, I'm biased probably because he's my favourite Ipswich player in recent times. But I just think his leadership on and off the pitch. I think maybe we all took for granted a little bit. He's so important, such a leader. Demanded standards every day. You go back to the Hurst story where Hurst said he, within the first training session, Morsy absolutely clattered him, and he thought then that was a sign he was testing him. He's a bit of a throwback, isn't he, Morsy? You don't really get skippers like him anymore. You know, you look at, I know we're talking about the Premier League now, but you look at Odegaard for Arsenal, for example, doesn't strike you as a Roy Keane kind of captain, does he? And I think Morsy shares some of those similarities, those old school similarities that we're going to miss. So for me, definitely Morsy. I think his presence is missed, and I think it has been missed so far this season. There's been a few question marks over Dara O'Shea as a captain. He's clearly a very different captain to Morsy. That's not to say that he's not going to be a good captain, because I'm sure he will be. He's a very good player. But he's a very, very different captain to Morsy. So it's going to take a while for that adjustment period to really bed in. But it goes back always to me for Morsy. He's been one of our best captains of recent times, hasn't he? And probably our best captain of recent times. And yeah, that one, again, that was another one that came out of the blue a little bit. There was a few murmurings, wasn't there, in the summer, but none that I really took seriously, I'll be honest. Maybe, again, I took him for granted that he'd always be there. But I was absolutely gutted. And whenever I see his Instagram stories in the QH shirt, a little tear in my eye. I think he's missed around the club a lot. And I think that might have been some of the influence around the other departures as well, because I think they respect him so much. So, I don't know. But yeah, Morsy for me is a big, big miss.
Yeah, I will admit I've missed taking pictures of him. I used to always get loads of Sam Morsy because I think it's just how he plays, and he was always in that sort of my eye line. And I used to like go through my like gallery and go, but I've got like 50 pictures of Sam Morsy, and in sort of same stances and same like on the ball, but he always looked good. So yeah, he's definitely for me is the biggest departure of them all. But yeah, it is what it is, unfortunately. John here, Sam is a great, but because of the age for me, it's Wolfie, because he looked like he cut it at Premier League level two, one of our own two. Annoying, which is very true indeed.
Age is a good point, actually, because he's 26, so he's not even really hit his prime yet. I mean, we could well still get a sell-on clause out of him. You never know. He might have another move on him, but I think the age is a very good, very good point.
He never let us down, did he? In the Prem, to be fair, Wolfie, he never let us down. He arguably, you know, there's an argument there, not wanting to go back to old ground, but there's an argument there that he should have played more. I suppose the reality is when you've got a £15 million defender, well, you've got two £15 million centre-backs, you're going to want to get the most out of your investments, aren't you? But I agree. I thought he deserves to play more. But one of those things, he's got a great move. Great move to Kovnar and to Lampard, who seems to be doing really well. So, I'm sure he'll do brilliant there. I'm sure he will.
He will indeed. And that's going to be interesting when he comes to Portland Road. I'm sure he'll get a really good reception.
Yeah, definitely.
Quick one here, Bainesy. This is from JT. Really surprised Baggett stayed, but I'm all for it. What's your thoughts on that? Because he's obviously been out on loan the last few years, had a few injury setbacks, but now Wolfenden's gone. We've got defenders as it stands: O'Shea, Greaves, Kipre, the unit, and then Baggett is the four.
Yeah, I think. I mean, it was. I think we were all quite surprised by that one, weren't we? When there wasn't going to be a backup centre back sign after Wolfenden left. And obviously, Baggett's thought very highly of, because this is his second, you know, extension he's signed. You know, and it's not just a 1 year; is it 27? 27. So I mean, they must think highly of him. We probably all expected a League One loan just to give himself some more consistent minutes, given, you know, the unfortunate injuries he had. But you know, with his age, this might be the right time for him to be around and prove himself and be around, you know, us as a club and understanding how we play rather than going out on loan and working for someone else. But yeah, I think if you remember back to League One days when we were really short of midfielders, was it the Rotherham game? He was sort of playing more in like centre mid and pushing forward, and he looked great. And I think his build and his size is obviously really good for a centre back. This could be just the perfect sort of timing for him to prove himself and to make sure he sticks around and be part of the future. But equally, as Harvey said, that's difficult when you've spent X amount on Dara O'Shea and X amount on Jacob Greaves and potentially Cedric Kipre if we go up. So if anything, hopefully he gets some minutes this season and a chance to prove himself.
Definitely. And I'm going to put you on a spot here, Harvey. This is from Andy Cracknell, and he is Crackers, but... On a serious note, are Greaves and O'Shea £30 million better than Burgess and Wolfie? I don't think so. What do you reckon then, my friend?
I think it's a perfectly valid argument. I think when you go back to Burgess, the way Burgess started in his town career, I think there were a lot of question marks. Granted, I know the fee was obviously a lot less, but there were a lot of question marks over Burgess. Remember the Barrow game when he was awful. I never ever thought Cam Burgess would be decent in possession, but he turned out to be. So I think we need a bigger sample size, to be honest. I think McKenna needs to work with them more. I know he had last season, but I think this season will be the where we'll really see our value for money. Hopefully we should, you know, we've had O'Shea, who I think is a Premier League defender myself. Greaves, the jury's still out for, obviously. He has some really good moments, Greaves. Positionally, I think he's really good sometimes. But then he has some real clumsy moments as well. So there's definitely two good defenders there. There's no doubt about that. But I get the argument because Wolfie knows exactly how to play that right centre-back role. Burgess was so solid. He had that brilliant relationship with Leaf down that left side, which Burgess and Davis haven't really replicated, have they? Granted, they can't really now with Davis playing a slightly different role this season, but I won't talk about that because I'll get really angry. But it's too early to say, I think. It's too early to say. Hopefully, they'll both prove to be really good investments. But yeah, there's definitely an argument for them both to be here.
Okay. Nice one. Well, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how they will do in the Championship, win more games and games, because obviously we're going to segue very shortly on the winless run and just our mood and feelings about it all. I'm just going to bring up a few more comments. This is from Colin. Ross, I've been not very well for quite a while now. Hopefully back to my second home very soon. Sorry to hear that, Colin. All the best in your recovery. And to be fair, you haven't missed much at Portland Road because we haven't won many games. And yeah, it's not been great watches, but I hope you... Well, very soon, my friends. Let's take a quick look. This JT Greasley is Greasley. Can't bloody speak, boys. Is strangely decent left back too. Nice cross on him. Yeah, So that's another option, because as you were saying,
that's a great, yeah, some great deliveries. That's some great deliveries, didn't he? Better than our £15 million and £20 million wingers. I know that. I thought he was good.
Yeah, very true. And Xavi McNally wants you to get angry, Harvey. Get hangry. So is that from because of earlier comment?
It's the Leaf. It's the Leaf in midfield role, which I just absolutely hate with a passion. But yeah, we'll be here till 4 a.m. if I talk about that.
Yeah, we won't do that. We won't do that just for me and Baines' sake. But yeah, Callum has said it's not that individuals are upgrades. It's just about the relationships. Burgess, Davis, Broadhead, etc. knew each other very well. It will come again with time, I'm sure. And especially now with international break. So it's going to be very interesting indeed. Texas, track the boy. Defensively, we have good players, but they keep making two or three mistakes every game. When was our last clean sheet? Have to fix that. Can't remember. Chelsea, probably?
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, I think it was.
Sadly, Alex Palmer hasn't kept the clean sheet since he signed. It's been a while. Well, in 2025, we've not kept a clean sheet in a competitive game. In pre-season, we did. But that doesn't count. It's pre-season. Very interesting indeed. But Bainesy, let's segue then on the winless run. And as I always do, little funny little segments. But what's your one word on the winless start to the season? What's the one word that comes to your mind? And everyone get involved as well. Share your thoughts. I know it's sometimes hard to just do it in one word. But to keep it sort of concise, just we can keep it short. One word, Bainesy.
Not even a word. It's just... just that, basically. Yeah, I think when we were in the Championship last time, it was, you know, we never realistically thought we'd be promoted. We thought we could maybe get to playoffs. That'd be really good. Maybe just scrape it. But I think equally, we would have taken, you know, less than that. Whereas obviously this time, all the hype has been around us, and obviously it makes us as Town fans very, very uncomfortable with all the hype being around us, and especially with recruitment last year, them saying we were building a Championship super team, and what we've done already, I think everyone had lofty expectations, you know, rightly or wrongly. But yeah, I think the summer transfer window has just felt like an extension of last season, with obviously players going. So I think now the window's done, that's, for me, it's like last season, the hangover, the players from last year are gone. We've got everything ahead of us to look forward to, but we just need to win a game. I think once we just get that win, especially at home, then, you know, that confidence will do no end of good to the players. You know, it'll boost things, you know, around the training ground. We just need to remember how to win again and have that winning mentality back, like we did in the Championship before. We always felt there was an equaliser, or even, you know, a late winner, whatever it is now. It's like, you don't really feel that. Obviously, Jack Clark scored the weekend, but we need to just get the winning feeling back, score more goals, beat some teams, and I think get the momentum going, and then things will be all right. But yeah, it's been a tough old start, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. This is pretty true from R. Let us know, R, what that means. Obviously, we know what two of us mean, but
lack of goals from open play. Maybe I guess that's the criticism that R's labelling.
What R stand for. But yeah, I know what two of us means.
Sorry,
it's fine. It's fine. But yeah, let us know. Expand on that. And anyone get involved, share your thoughts on the one word. Harvey, before we get to your one word, I want to bring up Ben's question here. Jens and Matasiwa look class first half. When Jens is fully fit, will be a beast in midfield. With Nunez signing, reckon we could go three in midfield some games now. What do you reckon?
No, I don't. I'd like to see that. I'll be honest. I think with the midfield options we've got now, granted we've not got we've not got loads of cover for Matasiwa, but I'd really like to see that. I'd like to see a three in midfield, maybe the Matasiwa as a holder, and then Jens and Nunez as like a 2-8 possibly pushing forward. But in reality, I just can't see McKenna doing it. He's never done it before. I know we've seen times where Jack Taylor comes on, doesn't he? Occasionally when we're holding out for a lead, usually not that we've done that much in the last 12 months, but sometimes we'll see Jack Taylor coming in with 20 minutes to go as the 10. But I just can't see McKenna doing it, to be honest with you. I think he values that number 10, whether it's Chaplin or Schmoddix or whoever's going to be playing in that central role. I think he values that number 10 too much for our attacking play. Three in behind the striker, I think McKenna really likes. So I can't see that person. I think it's more likely if we're going to see a change in system, we'll see a back three at some point, as in three natural centre backs with two attacking midfielders tucked in. I think we could see that at stages, but I don't think we'll see a three in midfield. No, I don't.
Okay, then. Baines, you got any opinion on that? What's your feelings on that?
I completely agree. I think it would make absolute sense to play three in midfield, but as Harvey said, McKenna doesn't want to, doesn't like it, so he'll be rigid to that. But I think I agree with the comments that last year it would have been a good opportunity to do that, to be maybe a bit more defensively solid, be a bit more pragmatic. But as we've seen with McKenna before, he favours, attacking players on the bench, and he obviously favours three behind the striker. So as much as we'd all love to see it, it's never gonna happen.
No, but good little debate to have. Greg here, being favourites to win the championship puts more pressure on our players, which they don't need, which is very true, very true indeed. Harvey, your one word then, my friend, to sum up the winless start to the season.
Yeah, I was trying to think for a while about this, and the word I settled on was patience, and I include myself in that as well, to be honest. I've had a few head losses this season already, even though we're only just in September, but ultimately it is a new group of players. It's not a completely new squad, but the turnover is a lot more than we thought. There was a comment saying, I think from Callum, saying with Broadhead, with Burgess, with Davis, they all knew each other so well that those relationships aren't going to come straight away. I think you've seen with Davis and Philogene, for example, that relationship just isn't there yet. They don't quite know their next move. When Davis has got the ball, Davis doesn't quite know where Philogene's going to be, and vice versa. So it's going to take patience. You could argue when we've spent, I saw today we spent 50 million quid or something like that. You could argue that, how much patience do you give to a squad that has got that much talent and has been, has had that much money spent on it, which I take that point completely. But ultimately, the with how specific McKenna's system is, whether you look at the right back, whether you look at the left winger tucking in, whether you look at the left back, they're all such specific roles that it's going to take time. It's going to take time. You look at Hurst, for example, as a striker, didn't set the world alight when he went in the first few games. I remember not being convinced by him. So Azon might take a few games for that to happen. So I think we just need to show a little bit of patience. That is easier said than done, I completely understand. But with new players, especially coming from new leagues, which we've not experienced in a long time as Ipswich fans, It's going to take patience. We're not going to be winning 5-6-0 every week like we all want to do. There's going to be some ups and downs as we've seen already. But yeah, patience would be my main takeaway from that. And I'll be replaying this to myself when we don't win the next game and I'm losing my head again.
Yeah, maybe the international breaks come at a good time for us to sort of reset and just sort of like, okay, and then we've got Sheffield United, which they're in a lot of trouble at the moment. And I've saw a comment today that Ruben Sellers basically has got that game to keep his job. So that means they'll bloody win, won't they? Bloody Sheffield United, bloody beat us. But hopefully not. But that will be an interesting game. Under the lights at Portman Road, the first game after the international break, which is going to be very interesting indeed. But Bainesy, I always like to do this when it's definitely end of a month or start of a month, but sort of bring out our sort of Player of the Month award, which is sometimes tricky. And this was very tricky back in League One days when we were rubbish. I mean, you're like, oh, who was the good one out of the bad bunch. But there haven't been, it's not been bad performances. It's just, you know, not been great. But who sort of stood out for you out of the squad, out of those sort of five games? Bromley game, actually, ignore that. So the four league games, who sort of your player of the month for August? Let us know, ladies and gentlemen, as well, in your comments. Your player is, just muting myself.
Yeah, it's a difficult one. I'll be honest, I had to read through all the player ratings to remind myself, because I think I just got in a general funk about us not starting particularly well and completely forgot about who did well. I settled on Matasiwa because I think for a couple of reasons. I think firstly, him as a player in his position, especially with Morsi going, is going to be really, really important. I think the fact that he was a permanent transfer and potentially could have a high ceiling, good return, or good resale value, you know, given his potential ability, he's going to be a really, really important player. It's obviously taken him a little bit to get up to speed, as Harvey mentioned, you know, coming from a completely different league, the French league, but also having chemistry with Jens Kuestay is going to be of benefit. But I think he's just got better and better, and he's, you know, the attributes we need. He's willing to get stuck in. You know, he's got a similar build to Morsi. I think he's going to be really key going forward, and I think he got better and better across August. So I imagine the more time he has, you know, on the training pitch with McKenna, and the more time he has with the players, he's just going to become more and more integral and important to our success this season.
Yeah, very much so. And interesting comment here, Harvey. Reckon Philogene is getting better. Do we leave this, or do we have a little discussion? Because he's a player there because we spent a lot of money. Aston Villa brought him back for a reason as well from Hull. But yeah, he has struggled, hasn't he? I think he just gets in a muddle sometimes. What's your thoughts on that?
I just say I'd love him to succeed. I really, really would, because we've seen what a good player he is at Hull. We've seen what he can do. We've seen the Rabona. We've seen how good of a player he is. We've watched him for England under 21s. But he's just not doing it for me, I'll be honest. He looks scared to take on his man sometimes. You know, I look at McAteer on Saturday, he wasn't amazing, but he looked like he could take on a fullback, whether that might not have been, he might not have got it right all the time. But whereas Philogene, for me, just so often, just whether he cuts inside or pass it back into midfield, he looks like he's got no confidence whatsoever. I don't know whether that's the price tag. I don't know whether, you know, we had a bad injury, didn't he, last season, whether he's completely up to speed yet. I don't know. But listen, there's a reason McKenna wanted him for so long. I've maybe been a little bit harsh with him on Twitter and said how dreadful I think he is. But again, I'd love him to prove me wrong. I really would, because he's a very, very, very talented player. I mean, the discussion you've got there is we've got two left wingers, haven't we? And neither of them are right wingers, but you can only play one of them on the left. So that's a completely different discussion as well. And it goes back to recruitment. For me, so far, no, Philogene hasn't done it. But I'd love to be sitting on this podcast in 6 months' time and you saying to me, look how wrong you were about Philogene, and he's got 5 goals and 5 assists and he's absolutely tearing it up. But I just can't see it at the moment.
Because he was consistent with England under-21s, and obviously that England under-21s team was absolutely stacked with talent. I agree. I think position is important. You know, him and Clark, they're being told to play positions that they differently to what they were successful with previously. You know, real paint on the boots wingers, which then goes back to, well, why did you get them in the first place if you had this different plan? I feel the same. I feel the same about Clark as well. I desperately love them both to succeed, but it's for one reason or another, it's just not working. But they're going to be here now, so they've left-sided options, it's the two of them, so maybe Smodic, but you're not going to play Smodic in front of them if you've paid 15 million each for them. So, yeah, it's very tricky. But I think injuries is a good point with Philogene and Harvey, you know, two setbacks, you know, last season and beginning of this season, you know, far from ideal. It can knock confidence. So maybe you just need some more games. Fingers crossed he can improve. But yeah, he hasn't exactly set the world alight yet.
Yeah, because he got injured. Was it in France? Was it in France or in Scotland? I forgot which one. I think it was in France.
I think it was really France.
And I thought, oh, that could be another serious one for him. And then he was out. He started, didn't he, at Birmingham? Or was it featured at Birmingham? He started, I think he started at Birmingham. We're like, oh, Jaden's back. Yeah. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. A bit harsh here from R. Crazy looks more threatening than for the Gene. Obviously, the mascot Crazy. Is that still a thing? I know there's one who sort of stepped down, one of the mascots.
I think he retired, didn't he? I'm sure I saw somewhere on Twitter or X. I'm sure I saw that he retired, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'll get a replacement, I'm sure. Shabby here. I get the doubting with Jaden, and it might be me. He does look deceivingly slow. Sorry, I can't read sometimes. Against a man, if he's given a free roam, he will surprise. Yeah, which is very true.
Yeah.
Very true. And then Ben here. I'd much rather Jaden run at defenders and try and make things happen and fail sometimes and doing step overs and passing it back into midfield constantly, and slowing down our play all the time, which is very true. Sadly, that is what he was doing against Derby.
The issue we've got, and I promise I won't go on about it a lot, but the issue we've got is our most creative player is Leif Davis, 18 assists last time we were in the Championship. But to get the best out of Philogene, a £20 million investment, to get the best out of Clark, a £15 million investment, you have to play them in their best positions, which means that because of that, Leif has now been asked to do something completely different that he's not done before, that doesn't get the best out of him. So you are sacrificing that to get the best out of Jaden and to get the best out of Clark. So McKenna needs to make a decision there where he's either going to say, I'm 1,000,000% sticking to this. This is how we're going to play. Leaf's going to play more centrally and we're going to get the best out of these wingers. Or we need to go back to knowing exactly what each player is good at. And for me, Leaf's completely wasted in that area of the pitch. I really do believe that. But yeah, maybe we'll see a bit more in the Sheffield United game after there's been a few weeks of training to see what McKenna's been working on. But for me, I just think Leif's so much better bombing up and down the left, and we've not seen that this season.
Yeah, not at all, have we? Which is a shame. Harvey, going back quickly to your player of the month for August, Andrew Mann.
Please go about that. Sorry.
Yeah, me too. I wasn't even going to ask, but I then saw this comment from Andrew. Young has a shout, shows experience, and yeah, 40 years of age, and he's played in every game. He played the 490 against Derby, which is fair play to him.
Yeah, he's impressed me, Young. He's impressed me. He looked a little bit tired, didn't he, on Saturday towards 70, 80 minutes. That misplaced pass, which was kind of summed up the day, didn't it, at that point. So, yeah, Young's definitely in with a shout, but I think Bainesy nailed it, to be honest with you. Matisse would be my pick as well for all those reasons. I think the Birmingham game was a bit of a shock to him. But since then, I think he's got better. I have to say, I love seeing him win headers because he's really not tall, but he's like Jay Tab. You know, he's just deceivingly good in the air for a player that isn't the tallest, to say the least. So he's really, really impressed me, Matisse, where I think, again, on Saturday he was good. His range of passing is getting a lot better. So, he has to start for me at the moment. It's going to be an interesting battle in midfield to see where McKenna goes with it, with obviously Kiyuste. Again, he was making me laugh at times on Saturday with how good he was. But yeah, Matisse, where I think has been a really good investment, and I think he'll get better as the season goes on as well. Really excited about him.
Definitely. And that's one thing also I forgot to do, part of the transfer talk, is the best summer signing of the summer for both you boys. So let's quickly go back to that before we jump into the main event of the Fan Social, and of course it's the strike. So get your pens and paper at the ready, ladies and gentlemen, as we end the episode. But Bainesy, summer 11, was it 11 signings? No, 11? Yeah, 11. Which one's the best for you out of the 11?
Yeah, it's a tricky one. There's a few good ones to pick. Matisse was, I think, obviously up there. Maybe Ashley Young might be the best in hindsight. I think with so much of the kind of the core leadership, player leadership group going, you know, you've got Chaplin and Morsey, you know, both of them driving standards. Someone like Young, who has been there and done it all and won everything, played abroad, you know, he's only going to be of benefit, you know, in terms of, you know, bringing that winning mentality back and, you know, helping mentor the younger players like Humphreys and Baggett, etc. So, yeah, maybe Young. Let's go with Young. He's old, but I think he could be a really, really valuable signing looking back at the end of the season.
Yeah, free transfer as well, so no money spent, just on his wages and stuff like that. And of course, his son has just signed a 2-year deal with the under-21, so sort of two youngs in the squad, a junior and the senior, so that is interesting. Harvey, for you, 11 very different signings. Who's your pick?
Yeah, I again, it's another one I had to think quite carefully about. I love the Nunes signing just because of how much it pissed off those lot. But for me, I'd probably go with our Norwegian Sindre. And I know it's difficult to say because he's not played a game for us yet. But you look at the interest. Again, I was reading, going back to AJ's article, again, I was reading this morning where it hasn't just been this summer. Clubs have been linked with him. They linked with him in January. They were, you know, he's been linked for a long time. We beat Porto to his signature. He looks a real, real talent. He's got. He looks quite strong, quite physical as well, which is something that McKenna and Ashton highlighted in the summer that we need to sign a different type of player. So for me, I'm really, really excited to watch him play. So I'll go with him for now. But I do not agree with a winger having the number 8. I will say that. Shocking. Absolutely shocking.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't really got an opinion on that. Bainesy, have you got an opinion on squad numbers for certain players?
I'm just a squad number nerd. I'm not denying that.
It's an odd one, but
yeah,
just a number, isn't it? Not to be too flippant to Harvey's love of squad numbers, but it's just a number.
Very true, very true. All right then, boys. Well, a lot of good debate, a lot of good discussion on Ipswich Town. Is now to end the pod with a bit of nonsense with the strike. Get involved in the comments, ladies and gentlemen. Although Harvey and Bainesy do not look at the comments if the answer's there. So be good. But who will be named the strike champion this episode? And
can I just check, Ross? Would you like me to turn a light on? Because I've can see it's gone quite dark in my conservatory. Yeah.
I'll let you do that.
I will turn a light on, yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. But we've got 5 questions plus a tiebreaker. And the questions around the summer signings. So hopefully you've done a bit of research on the summer signings because I've found a few little stats and facts about them. And funny enough, the first question is on the new Norwegian wonder kid, Sindre, and you know the rest. But yeah, I'm going to quickly bring up the question and make sure I haven't got the answers in the question. I haven't, which is good. But Sindre was born in which... Well, I actually haven't... I need to do the rest of the question. Norwegian town, I meant to put. I'm now just going to put that down. But yeah, which Norwegian town? Is it Ulsteinvik, Kopervik, or Lervik? So I really didn't think this through when I was trying to have to say the answers or the options. But thankfully, that isn't too difficult. But Sindre, Wally, Igeli? I'm going with Wale, Sindre. We'll have to speak to Sindre and see if he can help us out to announce, you know, to pronounce it. I know we've got a Norwegian supporters group, so I'm sure they'll be able to help us out as well. So any Norwegian supporters watching this, let us know. But yeah, boys, where is Sindre from? What's your thoughts? What's your answer?
I'm guessing Harvey's going to have the right answer, but complete guess.
Ooh.
I went for Ulsteinvik.
Ooh, two different answers. And I don't know if AJ put this in his piece. He probably didn't. But I thought that may give you a head start, potentially. But Bainesy is correct. It's Lervik. Yeah,
Complete guess.
No, that's right. It's fine. That's what I wanted to do it. Oh, we have got, I think, a Norwegian in the house. There we go. I can't say your name, so I'm not going to say that. But I think you are part of the Norwegian group, or are you the Swedish group? Let us know. But there we go. So 1-0 to Bainsey. Going into question two is on the big brute, Cedric Kiprae. And now, sort of different question here, but Cedric Kiprae played for which Scottish side? Was it Aberdeen, Motherwell, Shears, by the way, or St Johnston? That was dreadful. But yeah, what do you reckon then, boys? I think this is, he was at Leicester, started his career at Leicester, then went to this Scottish club, and then went to West Brom, I think. Let me just double check. But yeah, Cedric Kiprae, haven't yet seen him properly yet. He played obviously in the cup game. No, he went to Wigan, then he went to West Brom. So yeah, so Leicester, and then the Scottish club, and then Wigan, West Brom, and of course Lions, Bells, and then Ipswich. So what do you reckon then, boys?
Yes, Aberdeen.
Aberdeen?
I've gone Motherwell.
Ooh, it is Motherwell. So it's 1-1. Going to question three. Question three is on Trubach, Pom. And now this is basically, if you can get it correct, you get double the points because it's the nearest to the correct answer. And it is on Trubach, Pom, as I said. How many goals did Trubach, Pom score? Once again, I haven't done this question properly. I should have read these questions before I put them out. I'm just going to put it out. How many did Trubach Pom for Middlesbrough in the 2022-23 championship season? So it meant to say how many goals did Trubach Pom score for Middlesbrough? But I'm actually going to change it just in case people are now joining us. Did Trubach Pom score for Middlesbrough in the 2022-23 championship season? So how many goals did he score? Of course, golden boot for Middlesbrough that year under Michael Carrick. But yeah,
we're talking all fixtures. We're talking all fixtures or just league,
just league games, just champion games. Just to keep it sort of simple. So yeah, what do you reckon, boys?
31.
Harvey,
I went a little lower, but I'm not sure whether my number is all comps or championship. I've gone 27.
Oh, no one's got it bang on. Because the correct answer is 28. So Harvey is the closest. He actually got 29 in all competitions, if you're asking.
Wow.
He scored one in the, I think, the FA Cup. I think he scored a pen. But yeah, 29 in all competitions. And there we go. Norwegian supporter there. 28. Bang on. He's got two correct so far. Didn't even bother the Kiprae when I went, I don't care. But question four. And now this could be in Harvey's wheelhouse here, Bainsey. But you never know. But what squad number has Ivan Azan been given? 27, 31, or 34? Harvey knew straight away. Sorry, Lindsay. Sorry. But yeah, what squad number? Because I didn't really notice this until I was like trying to think of questions for certain players. And I was looking at Ivan Azan.
Oh, yeah, I've got no idea. Yeah. No idea.
I couldn't think of any other questions for Ivan, because obviously everyone knows where he sort of was born in Spain, and everyone knows he came from Como in Italy. And I was like, I couldn't really find. I could have just like, what's his nickname? What is he's named after an ocean animal? And but most people know it's the shark. But yeah, Bainsey, what do you reckon?
31.
Harvey.
34. Nailed it, Bainsey. Yeah, it's 31.
31. So there we go. So Harvey is in the lead, I think, if I'm rightly saying. So Bainsey got the first question right. Then it was Harvey, 1-1, 2-1 closest. So it's 3-2, going into the final question. And now, bear with me. It is on Marcelino Nunes. And he played in Chile for which side? And you know what? I'm just going to just bring them up. I'm not even going to read them. So you could just, there you go. There you have it. Colo Colo, I can say that one. Nuplens, I think it is. Or Universidad Catalinca, whatever it is. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm not Chilean. Bloody hell. I'm so
good
sorry.
Good try, Ross. Good try.
Yeah, it was dreadful. Do you know what? I actually nailed it earlier when I was like putting these questions together. I said it like that. So I used like Google Translate.
You just need to be confident. Yeah, you say it with confidence, you'll be fine.
I wasn't confident at all there. But what do you reckon then, boys? A, B, or C?
I think it's Universidad, I think.
Yeah, same here. I've got the same answer.
It is indeed. And the Norwegian lads got it right as well. There we go. So Parvi has won overall, but as standard, never changes. There is a tiebreaker. So is Harvey going to gamble at all? Gamble responsibly, of course. Are you going to do it, my friend?
Got to gamble, haven't I? Got to gamble.
All right, I love that. I now need to change. Once again, I need to change my question because I've done this, basically. How many England caps did England win? I meant to say, how many England caps did Ashley Young win? I don't know. Honestly, I should have double-checked this before I put them up. But yeah, tiebreaker is how many England caps did Ashley Young win? Bloody hell, Ross. It's, you know, it's I'm a bit rusty doing a fan social. So that's why, you know, when it comes to the strike, it's always a shambles. But yes, Bainesy, basically got to get a bang on, my friend, to take the crown of the strike champion this week. Harvey, of course, can still play. But what do you reckon? Ashley Young, I'm actually going to bring you another stat quickly.
32.
Just to maybe help you out potentially. He played for England from 2007 to 2018, and he also scored 7 goals. So I don't know if have I helped him out there too much, Harvey? I don't know. I just thought I'd bring some more stats.
That's good. I don't think my answer is my answer, Ben. I'll be honest. If he scored 7 goals.
Okay, then. Well, you never know. He could have just had a prolific spell over the period, but
I don't think it's a lot. So I went 32. I mean, 32 is still a lot in the grand, but not like loads. So complete guess.
32. Key Gerald's gone 33. What are you going for, Harvey?
I went a little bit lower, 28.
28. Oh, Ashley, they've done you dirty here. 39. Greg's gone 31, but it's 39.
Well, yeah, fair play. That's still a decent return, that. 7 goals in 39 for international level. It's pretty good, isn't it?
Pretty good, pretty good. Did he play what? I know you don't care, Harvey, because you're Welsh. But Euro 2012 and 2018 World Cup, he played in the major tournaments for England.
Fair play.
So not too bad at all. So, yeah, there we go then. Harvey has won the first strike. I'll have to make a list this season. You're going to go on the leaderboard, Harvey, as the first strike champion this year. And maybe at the end of the season, I'm going to bring all the strike champions together to do a big end-of-season strike special, potentially, which would be good. So, Bainesy, you never know, could come back on another show and compete again. So, do not worry. But, boys, Harvey, quick speech for you as we wrap up this fan social.
Yeah, been a pleasure. Thanks for having me back on. Nice to be the first winner of the strike, because I genuinely don't think I've won a single strike since doing this podcast. So maybe that's a sign that things are going to turn around for Ipswich Town as well, starting next Friday. And McKenna, our record with McKenna under the lights, forget last season, is very, very good. Very good. So hopefully that will... Yeah, that will reignite a spark in our season next Friday. A nice victory will do us all good going into the weekend. So fingers crossed.
Yeah, definitely. And international break. I know it's boring, but the Ipswich Town women's team, actually, a big shout out to them. I've got a podcast special coming out tomorrow. Us doing a big preview for that game, and they're playing Southampton for their first WSL 2 game this weekend. So there is some football to be had for that in terms of Ipswich Town. But yeah, looking forward to obviously Sheffield United. We'll bring you another fan social next Wednesday to preview that and discuss other bits and bobs. But Bainesy, any other business from you as we wrap up the latest and the returning fan social?
No, thanks. Thanks for having me. Been an absolute pleasure coming on. Fingers crossed we get that win against Sheffield United, because it's very, very, very much needed.
Indeed. And thank you, everyone, for joining us. Callum, 4 out of 4 on the multiple choice and 1 away on the other. Bloody hell, Callum. Very
wow.
good. Very
that
good.
Is that is impressive. That is impressive.
He's Mr. Stat. He knows his stats. Honestly, if you see him in the press room, home and away, he's just got spreadsheets. He's got everything, which, you know, it's pretty good. So there is times where I went, I don't care, Callum. I don't care. But sometimes they come in handy. They do come in handy. But great stats there. A great show. Harvey, Bainesy, thanks so much for joining me. Thanks, everyone, for joining us as well on the Kings of Anglia Fan Social. We're going to, as I said, bring you these every Wednesday live at 7:30, 8 o'clock. It really depends on what's happened in my day or whoever's joining me. But no, it's been I've been exposed. No, Callum, it's fine, mate. You're just very happy with your stats and facts, so it's all good.
I can't say anything with squad numbers, so you're not on your own, Callum. Don't worry about it.
Do not worry, indeed. And Greg here. Thanks, lads. Enjoy the show. Tractors forever. Yes, indeed. Up the town, everybody. Thanks for listening. Make sure to check out all the other bit of content that we'll have on our websites and video side as well. And we'll see you next time. Bye for now. What in Welsh, Harvey? What's that? What's in Welsh? Like goodbye.
Hoyl vow.
What he said.
Do you want to try that one?
Honavow.
That'll do, Ross. We'll go with that.
See you later, everybody. Goodbye.